Peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to the sixth season of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I want to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's holy word. And right now we want to get right into God's word, so let's go.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel according to St. John. We're going to be reading chapter 1 and beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. May God pour out his rich blessing upon this, the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. We're continuing in our study of the Apostles' Creed, that ancient statement of belief in the Christian church. And it's a statement that ties us all together today with fellow believers all around the world who also proclaim what we do, that we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Today we're going to look at that statement as we begin to look at the second triad of this Apostles' Creed. There are three parts to the Creed. One that deals with the Father, one that deals with the Son, and one that deals with the Holy Spirit. But it is this middle section that deals with Jesus Christ that is the longest, and for good reason, because we as Christians are defined by what we believe about Jesus Christ. It's in our name. We are called Christian because we are followers of Christ. The word Christian actually means a little Christ, which means we are to be made in his image. We are to be little Christs to the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before people that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Through Christ, we are given adoption, a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters of God. And yet there is a distinction between the sonship of Christ and we who are adopted as sons and daughters of God. And we're going to see that in the Apostles' Creed today. But let's open up with a word of prayer. Center our hearts and minds and invite the Spirit into our presence. Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to You and to Your teaching this day. Pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here that we may truly know what it is You would have us to know this day as it concerns Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, we had our conference in Wildwood, and on Monday night there was a special interest dinner that I attended, and it was fascinating because the speaker put forth an assertion that all of the difficulty in the United Methodist Church right now, and let's not mince words, there is some difficulty right now, but all of it stems from not specific questions, but one particular issue, which is, what do we believe about Jesus? What do we believe about the Christ? Who is Jesus in our church, in our lives? What do we believe about Jesus? She said something that was, it seems startling to some, I think, but to me, it makes perfect sense. She said, if Christ isn't in it, I am not interested. If Christ isn't in it, I am not interested. There was a layperson sitting next to me, and he turned to me and he said, well, what about God? Okay, yes, God the Father, creator of all things, sustainer. But we're talking about Jesus Christ. We're not called Godians. Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? We're called Christians because what separates us from every other religion in the world is our belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That's what separates us from the Jews. That's what separates us from the Muslims. It's from what separates us from every other world religion. Is that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so it's what we believe about Jesus that defines us. And so she's absolutely right when she says, if Christ isn't in it, I don't want any part of it. I'm the same way. I didn't come to be a United Methodist because of our social justice. I didn't come to be a United Methodist because of our potluck dinners. I didn't come to be a United Methodist because of our worship experience, the richness of our hymns. I came to be a United Methodist because of our belief of who Jesus Christ is. And so when we read this, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. There's three parts to that statement. And the first is that Jesus is Christ. Jesus Christ. Some people treat the name Jesus Christ as if it were his first and last name. Like, you know, it's like Mr. and Mrs. Christ had a baby. His name is Jesus. No. Christ is his title. Now let me ask you something. Before we go any further, what was your favorite subject in school? It's okay, you could talk in church. What was your favorite subject in school? Anybody? Auto shop. All right. That's a man's man, right? Huh? English, very good. Math, yep. Huh? Bookkeeping. I'm not surprised. Okay, so let me tell you what my least favorite subject was. Social studies. I hated social studies. That's probably because I had to memorize all the world capitals and the state capitals of places that I was never going to be, you know? And I just had no interest in social studies, right? But one thing that they taught us in social studies was the structure of the United States government. Now, let me ask you this. Who here knows the name of the person who is currently residing in the White House? Donald Trump, right. Now, when we refer to him, we refer to him as President Trump, right? But his first name is not President, right? His first name is Donald. President is his title. If we refer to President Trump as President, that's his title. It's not his name. Likewise, you know, Prince Harry, for example, just got married recently. Prince Harry, Prince is not his first name, right? It's his title. Queen Elizabeth. Queen is not her first name. It's her title, right? Queen Latifah. Well, that's a bad example. But it's the title. And in the same way, Christ is not the name of Jesus. It is his title, Christ. But what does Christ mean? In the Greek, it's Christos. In the Hebrew, it's Messiah. It means anointed, the anointed of God. Jesus is anointed. Oftentimes you'll hear me say in prayer, I will refer to Jesus as Jesus the Christ to differentiate between his name, Jesus, and his title, which is the Christ, the anointed of God. In Isaiah, we read about the Messiah, the coming Messiah, who was promised. King Saul was the first king of Israel, and Samuel the prophet anointed him with oil to show that he was the king. Later, Samuel the prophet did the same for David. He anointed him with oil and said that he is the king of Israel. While Saul was still alive, and even when Saul was chasing David and trying to kill him, there were a couple of times when David had an opportunity to kill Saul and did not do it. Because, he said, far be it from me to lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. That's what David said. Even though Saul was trying to kill him, even though Saul at this point had been completely corrupted, David said, but God at one point anointed him, and so far be it from me to go against what God has done. So here we go. Jesus is the anointed one. The Jewish people had been waiting for generations for the Messiah to come. But they were expecting a military Messiah. One who was going to lead them in battle and overthrow Rome and drive out the Romans and restore Israel as a nation, as a sovereign nation, and that he would sit on the throne of Israel. Why? Because that's what the prophets all said. That God said to the prophets that he was going to raise up a righteous branch from the stump of Jesse. What does that mean? Jesse was the father of David, which means that this Messiah who was to come would be descended from the king, David. God, when he made his covenant with David, told him that there would always be one of his descendants upon the throne of Israel. He also said that there would one day be one of David's descendants, and God would establish his throne in Israel forever. Forever. He was speaking of Jesus, but he wasn't speaking of Israel as a sovereign nation, but Israel as a people. Not just the Jews, but all who came to faith through this Messiah. Faith in God. through this Christ. Jesus was not just a teacher. He wasn't just an itinerant rabbi, but he was the Christ. He was the anointed of God. And so what we say is we believe, when we say we believe in Jesus Christ, the first thing that we are acknowledging is that Jesus is anointed by God to lead his people into freedom. So that's the first thing. Jesus is the Christ. At one point, when Jesus had come into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is why it's so important. This is why it's so central to the life of the Christian. We're not called Jesusians. We're called Christians because we follow the Christ. And it's important to know that Jesus' question for his disciples is the same as his question for us today. Who do you say I am? And with this statement in the Apostles' Creed, we say that Jesus is the Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, His only Son. So that's the second part of this, is that Jesus is God's only Son. Only Son. Now, Pastor, we just read today in Ephesians that we are sons and daughters of God. So how can Jesus be His only Son, right? Geez, Pastor, you'd think you'd study this a little bit harder. Thank you very much for bringing that to my attention. I actually did study this a little bit, and this is what I came up with. And this is, actually, we have been studying on Thursday nights a book called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. Fantastic book. And actually, C.S. Lewis can put this much better than I can, so I'm going to paraphrase for you. There is a difference between being made and being begotten. Begotten. We don't use that word begotten very much anymore, do we? We don't use the word to beget, right? Nobody says that. I didn't pick up Isaac and say, "Oh, Isaac, I am so glad I begot you." You know, nobody talks like that, right? But there's a distinction between begetting and making, isn't there? Because what a person begets, or to beget someone, is to father them, or to have a child, right? So what we beget is like us. A man begets human babies, right? A beaver begets little beavers, okay? A bird begets eggs, and the eggs hatch and become little birds, right? They beget something like themselves. But when we make something, what we make is not like us. A bird makes a nest. A beaver makes a dam. A man makes perhaps a statue that looks like a man, but it's not, because it doesn't live, it doesn't breathe. A man can make a robot, right? That looks very much like a person, but it doesn't live, it doesn't breathe, it doesn't eat, it doesn't think, it doesn't reason. No matter how cleverly we may program that robot to look and appear and act like a person, it's not a person. So what we make is not like us. What we beget is. You get that? In the same way, what God makes is not God. What God begets is God. That's the distinction. And it's actually spelled out much more clearly in the Nicene Creed than in the Apostles' Creed. They go a little bit farther in explaining it, I think. When they say in the Nicene Creed, We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. That's the distinction. Jesus Christ is the only Son of God because He is begotten, not made. He is not something that God made. He is the begotten of God. And that's what makes Him the only Son of God. Here in the reading in John, what we read is, in the beginning was the Word, speaking of Jesus, it's capitalized there. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Now, where Genesis begins with the beginning of creation, it begins with the beginning of all things, all material world, and all of time begins at the beginning of Genesis. When in Genesis they say, in the beginning, God created, that's the beginning of us. Here in John, he goes back even farther. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. So when we read, in the beginning, God created, and when we read, God spoke into darkness and said, let there be light, it was the Word of God that was the creative element of God. When God spoke, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the embodiment of God's commands, God's speaking. He is the Word. He was with God. He is God. And He was in the beginning with God. Jesus is what we call co-eternal. He has always existed. Now, you say, how can something begotten be co-eternal, can also be eternal? There had to have been a time when only the Father existed and then begat the Son, right? Not when we consider God. Because remember that time itself never existed until God created all things. God created time when He created the universe. God exists outside of time. And so it is extremely possible for Him to exist eternally and to have begotten the Son eternally. Eternally begotten is what the Nicene Creed says. Eternally begotten from the Father. He has always existed. He is the only begotten Son of God. He says in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory, the glory as of, there's that word again, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten of the Father. So Jesus is the only Son. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. Now, if Jesus' sonship was the hardest thing for us to believe, the hardest thing for us to accept is the last one, His Lordship. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Now, when we say that Jesus Christ is our Lord, what we are saying is that we submit our entire life and will to Him. That He now becomes the Lord of our life. That everything that we do because it is in submission to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Lord, again, is another title, but it speaks to who He is, not just in the life of the Christian, but also in all of creation. He is the Lord of all. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. It's the first of the confessions that we read in any of the Gospels that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. What we read in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, "Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name." Now, the name that God gave him is not Jesus. Bear with me. Jesus was a common name. Okay? It's not an uncommon name. In Jesus' time, there were many Jesus. There's a couple Jesuses in the Bible. Not just Jesus Christ. But there is, did you know that the man that the crowds cried for? What was his name? Barabbas, right? Well, in Mark's gospel, he's referred to as Jesus Barabbas. Jesus Barabbas. Barabbas is actually a combination of two words, bar, meaning son, and abbas, meaning his father's name. Bar Abbas, Jesus, son of Abbas. Okay? That's who Barabbas was. His name was Jesus. Jesus Bar Jonah. Jesus, Jesus was one of, there was a magician in the book of Acts named Jesus, you know? And also, if you go back into the Old Testament, the sixth book of the Old Testament is named after another very famous Jesus, okay? Because Jesus is the anglicized version of his name. His name was actually Yeshua. Yeshua, which means salvation is from the Lord. And he shares a name with another man, Yeshua. We know him as Joshua. Joshua. Joshua, who brought the people into the promised land. Joshua, who fought the battle of Jericho. His name means salvation is from the Lord. So Jesus, or Yeshua, is a very common name at this time. That's not the name that God gave him that is above every name. It says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the name that God gave him that is above every name. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, Jesus, he's the Christ. He is the only Son of God, and he is our Lord. In this opening statement of the Christology of the Apostles' Creed, what we are saying is we are affirming faith in this Jesus from Nazareth, who was the Christ, the anointed of God. He was the only Son, the only begotten Son of God. And he is Lord of all. That's what we profess faith in when we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And so as we continue to go through this statement of faith, let's internalize this statement. Because it's what defines who we are. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he is our Lord. He is the Christ. What we believe about Jesus is what defines us and separates us from the rest of the world. It's what makes us Christian. And so this is the statement where we begin to understand more about ourselves in the light of who Jesus is in our lives today. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for sending your Son, your only Son, your only begotten Son, begotten, eternally begotten of the Father. We are grateful, Lord, that you have sent him to be our Savior, to be your anointed, to be our Lord. And Lord, we pray that we would submit ourselves wholly to the one who is our Savior and Redeemer, to the one who bore our sins on the cross, to the one who was the embodiment of your love for the world. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And all this we pray in his mighty and majestic name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this time of listening to and learning from God's Word has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. Now, I have been blessed that God has called me to minister to two churches in rural New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. And if you don't have a church family to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We are a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ-adoring faith community in the heart of New Jersey's farmland. But if you don't live nearby, get involved with the church where you are. We are not called to be Christians in isolation, but in community. So I would encourage you to live out your faith with a group of like-minded believers where you are. Again, I pray that you have been blessed by this teaching, and I hope that you will join us again next time. God bless you and keep you. Amen.